Good morning. Welcome to Fairport Baptist Church on this beautiful Lord's Day as we gather to worship and pray. You notice things are a little different? Vacation Bible School starts this evening at 5 o'clock. And for kids, and also we have an adult class. So if you want to come out, we have a Bible study for the adults. I got my cowboy hat. And I'm all ready. So welcome this morning. There are some announcements, some things we need to take care of. Of course, Vacation Bible School starts this evening. Those who come, we're going to eat at 5 o'clock, okay, before we start. And then Men's Fellowship breakfast is Saturday, June 21st here at 8 o'clock. Then Ladies Luncheon Monday the 30th at Delma's Family Cafe in Lottsburg. Arrive by 11:30 a.m. Sign up sheet in the fellowship hall. See Bootsy with any questions. Senior Saints Ministry meeting Monday, June the 30th at 7. Deacons at WME meeting Tuesday the 8th at 7. And then church business meeting Wednesday, July 9th at 7 p.m. And then I have Stanley O'Bear, Annette's brother. His service will be this afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Methodist Church in Henderson Methodist Church, right, in outside Kaleo. I get that thing right one of these days. And visitation is from 1 to 3, and the service is at 3 o'clock. Okay? Any other announcements, anything I need to? Already, I'm going to ring the bell, and then you get up and you welcome your neighbors this morning. And then when I ring it, you got to sit back down, all right? All right. Welcome your neighbors this morning. I almost hated to ring the bell and stop it, but we got to at some point. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this honor, this privilege to be in your presence this morning. We've come to worship you. We've come to praise you. We've come to give you all the glory and the honor. We've come to thank you for the gift of salvation in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To thank you for this fellowship that we have one with another. And to thank you that you love us and care for us enough to provide for us in all that we need and do. And we pray as we go through this service now, we're intent upon listening to you and what you have to say to us. And that we leave here today resolved to be better servants for you out in this lost and dying world. For this we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. All right. No choir today, Billy.
The pastor's supposed to preach from this TP, and I'm going to lead from this one. Our first hymn this morning is from 18. Let's just praise the Lord. Stand as we sing. We'll sing it through a couple times. 18. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well. I'm just going to say, what a beautiful day it is. Let the children come. Do we have anybody that wants to come forward today? We got one. We got two. There you go. Gay, you coming down too? No, you're just standing up. Okay. I was excited. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Are you excited for tonight? Are you coming?
No. I'm not sure about that.
Well, I hope you come tonight. I wasn't going to say too much this morning. Okay. Well, I tell you what, we're going to have a grand time the next several nights. We're going to take a little train trip through the West and look back in time. You got to say something. What do you want to say this morning? You love Jesus?
I like this.
You like this room? I like this room too. It's a special room. And you know, tonight is a special night because you're going to share, we're going to share with all our friends the story of Jesus. We're going to talk about his beginning, his birth. We're going to talk about as he became a young adult. We're going to talk about his teachings. We're going to talk about his death and resurrection. We're going to talk about the truth, the word, that is Jesus Christ. And we're going to have a fun time. And I encourage the adults to also join us. One of our young teachers, Mr. Roger Jackson, is going to be leading an adult study at the same time. So it's going to be fun times for everybody. I want you guys to come. We're going to start around 5 o'clock tonight. Is that right? And we're going to have dinner together.
I think it's hot dogs tonight.
All right. Hot dogs and soup. So it's going to be a good start. And this is going to be from 5 to 7, maybe 7:30.
Dinner stops at
6. What's that? Dinner stops at 6, and how long does the program last to?
6:15 to 8:00. Boat?
Did you say boat? Boat. Bless you. Bless you. All right. So we'll be running from about 5 to 8 o'clock tonight through Thursday evening. And looking forward to seeing everybody here. This is what the Lord wants. He wants us to come together and talk and share and praise his name. All right? Let's say a little prayer before you guys go in the back room. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this special day and allowing us to come together to study you, to talk about you, and to praise you. We give thanks for the little ones and especially look forward to this week, full of their smiles, full of good times sharing your word. As we go forth, allow us to continue to spread your name, continue to talk about you, and to invite others to come to worship. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. Hope to see you tonight. Have yourself a blessed morning. Thanks for helping. Brandon's still waking up. It's been a tough week, as I think a lot of you heard. Annette lost her brother. But as she proclaims, he is in a better place. The glory has come to him, and he gets to be where he deserves, up with the Lord. As you heard the pastor said, the service is this afternoon, visitation at 1, service at 3 at Henderson Methodist Church in Callio.
Callio.
All right. Bless you. It's good to see so many new faces today, and I also see a lot of people back from vacations and such. That's a wonder. Do we have any prayers and concerns? Do we have any praises? I know we have stuff going on. Trudy had a birthday on Friday. I know the Hasslers had an anniversary. Anybody else with birthdays or anniversaries? I apologize. I didn't look at my cheat sheet this morning. But it is the time of year, especially for anniversaries. So we're thinking about everybody. And I did hear that May Schools is resting comfortably, and that's all we can ask for, peace and comfort for them. So we know that. Priscilla, it's good to see that you were able to join us today. I definitely like that. Doug, it's good to see you in the house. Trudy has hip surgery on the 18th of the month. My daughter, Jordan, has a surgery on the 19th of the month. So we ask that you lift some of our friends up for special prayers. Anything else you can think of, Pastor? I think that about does it for today. Hey, like always, please say hi to your neighbors. And if you notice that somebody's missing, please give a call. Find out what's going on. It is the time of year for vacations and, as they say, holiday. But at the same time, it's good that we check on each other and make sure that we share the love with each other. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we do have the privilege and the honor to come before you in prayer, to come to share with you our joys, our thanksgivings, and our concerns. And we pray today and lift up the Vacation Bible School starting this evening. We pray that many children will come, and we pray we will have the opportunity to share your Son with them and to get them a better understanding, and perhaps some of them will accept him as their Lord and Savior. But most important of all, that we sow the seeds that we plant in their hearts and minds who Jesus is and who they need to accept one day in their lives. And we thank you, Lord, that we would have this time to work with these children, and may we do as you please with them to share the gospel. And we pray, Father, for those that we've mentioned here today that are undergoing health issues or suffering from some disease or some injury. We pray your healing hand would be upon them. Give them strength, and above all, know that you love them. Be with those that are getting ready to go to have surgery to give them the peace of mind that they need, and to know that you're going to see them through it and things are going to be well. And we pray now as we go through this service, we listen to your word and we really truly think about the commitment that we've made to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we truly have made a commitment, that we're not just going through the motions and we've never really asked him into our lives, and that he's personally in each and every one of our lives as our Lord and Savior. And we pray now all that we do and say is according to your glory and honor as we come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, really? That's why I just stayed up here.
Okay. Our offertory hymn this morning is hymn number 526, The Solid Rock. We sing the first, second, and fourth verses. First, second, and fourth. Stand as we sing.
They took my chair away, so I've just been standing up here all the time. I'm making it. I don't know if you're familiar with comedian Jeff Foxworthy. Some of you are. You might be a redneck. I'm going to read. If you've got a giant screen TV in your house, but you have to go outside to use the bathroom, you might be a redneck. If when you tell somebody how to reach your house, you mention trailer park, piney woods, or turning left at the scrapyard, you might be a redneck. If your wife gives birth to a son and you have an irresistible urge to give him a name like Billy Bob, Jimmy Lee, or Johnny Reb, you might be a redneck. If you have two brothers and name Bubba and Junior, you might be a redneck. If your bicycle carries a gun rack, you might be a redneck. If your baby's first words were, "Attention, Kmart shoppers," you might be a redneck. And if you make change out of the offering plate when it's passing in church, you might be a redneck. Now, you think that's funny, but let me tell you something. When I was at First Baptist Church in Elkton, one day I had a gentleman, after the offering plate was passed and put back on the altar, he come up and made change in it. I don't know if he thought he put too much and had to take some back, but he right in front of the whole congregation. Now, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," to Jesus will not enter the kingdom of heaven. If you are real good at saying, "Lord, Lord," but you don't follow through, you might be misinformed. If you believe that saying the right words gets you right with God, you might be misinformed. If you believe that holding the correct doctrinal position saves you, you might be sadly misinformed. If you think that Sodom and Gomorrah were two lovebirds who just didn't get it, you might be misinformed. If when you sing the hymn, "Gladly, the cross-eyed bear," you believe you're singing about a big brown woodsy creature with a poor eyesight, you might be misinformed. If somebody told you once that all you have to do is walk down the aisle, take the preacher's hand, then he'll say kind things about you, and you have made it into heaven, if that's what you believe, you might be misinformed. If you think, "Oh, but I got baptized," and you believe the baptism has saved you, you might be misinformed. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of his heavenly Father. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, as we're getting to the end here of the Sermon on the Mount. We've only got one left after this. Now, next Sunday, we're going to take a break. It's Father's Day. I got to do Father's Day message, okay? And then we'll close out. Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. "Not everyone that saith unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works.' And then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" This is, Jesus is getting strong here. I might want to say before I get started, you might want to buckle your seatbelt. Because it's a startling communication. He said that not everyone who claims him as Lord will be saved. Many think they are saved. They are in fact still lost, headed to hell. Jesus makes it clear. Not all who profess him possess him. So there's a difference between profession and possession. A mere profession of Jesus is not enough. A mere belief in the doctrines of faith is not enough. Merely saying you know Jesus is not enough to save your soul. Belonging to the church, being a good person, doing religious things, all are good, but none can save the soul. Salvation comes only through the new birth. Jesus said in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, I verily say unto you, except you a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus was talking about being born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, of course, when he misunderstood it at first, he says, I got to go back into my mother's womb and do it all over again. Jesus says, you don't understand. It's the spiritual birth. You have to be born from above. Now, Jesus is telling us that there will be some who think they are saved, and in reality they're deceived. Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. The parable of the wheat and tares, if you're familiar with the wheat and the tares, a man went out and planted his wheat, and while he slept, the enemy come along and planted some tares. Tares are weeds. I don't know if you do any gardening stuff, you know, weeds get in there. And according to the parable, what you do is you cannot distinguish the wheat from the weeds until they bear the head. When the wheat bears its head, then you can tell the difference between that and the weeds. And what Jesus said in that parable is, you don't go plucking out the weeds because you might take out some of the wheat. So you leave it till the time of the harvest. The Apostle Paul knew there would be some in the church who would be fooled by their profession. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Peter mentioned the phenomenon in 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Without Jesus, there is no hope of salvation. Too many today base their salvation experiences on what their mother and father told them it would happen. You might have told you got sprinkled when you was a baby. You know, that got it. No, it don't. Too many trust in time when they had a strange experience. Many are trusting in some fuzzy experience to get them to heaven. You need to be sure where your faith is today. Eternity depends on what you trust in. Not everyone is going to heaven. It's a simple condition. Jesus tells us what brings salvation to a life. You are saved, he said, by doing the will of his Father. One of the things, what is the will of God in heaven? That everyone would be saved. He would have everyone accept his Son, the Lord Jesus. But not everybody does. Does not mean salvation by works. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What would heaven be like if you went up there and everybody standing around bragging on how they got there? Not good, is it? You probably know people that boast all the time, you know. The only thing you can say, and the reason that God will let you in is, and he would say, why should I let you into my heaven? The only thing you can say that is right and acceptable is, Jesus died for me. This is the will of the Father, John 6:40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Salvation comes to those who see the Son and believe in him. Salvation is by pure faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. It's his work. He did it. He died for us. He shed his blood for us. And that's what forgives us of our sins. That's what saves us. And it is our faith in that that saves us. You must come to the place where you're trusting in nothing but the death and resurrection of Jesus to save you from your sins. Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Acts 16, 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Believe. But this is talking about not just head knowledge. There, a lot of people in the world today know who Jesus Christ was. They know he existed. He's in history. You can't take him out of it. And a calendar, the world revolves around his coming into this world. We celebrate special days because of his coming and of his dying on the cross and of his resurrection. But it's not just mere mental assent. It talks about the heart, the inner being, the soul, the will. That will has to be surrendered unto him. Many people know and can tell you, but it's up here only. It's not down here. You better be in Jesus because not everyone is going to heaven. Here's a stunned complaint. When they hear the requirements for salvation, they recount all the things that they have done. Some pretty impressive stuff. They preach the word of God. They cast out devils. They done wonderful works. And they did it all in the name of Jesus. They were sincere. They were busy folks. They were busy about doing things. They were doing good stuff in Jesus' name. They were making a difference. They were so busy working for the Lord, but they never took the time to get to know him personally. Salvation is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. A personal relationship with the Son of God. It's not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's a personal relationship. I experienced this years ago when I took Evangelism Explosion training. And I discovered, and we were told in this, that some of the ministers that came to these Evangelism Explosion conferences through the process discovered they were lost. They were busy doing the work for the Lord. They were busy preaching and doing all this other, but they had never actually accepted Jesus Christ into their lives. As it says in Revelations, and we're going to look at seven churches. I might do that starting when I get done with this, because I've laid out some sermons for the future here, the seven churches and also some parables. But I think I'm going to do the seven churches first. But one of them he told to the church, and he does this to all of us. He said, I stand at the door and I knock. It's a picture of Jesus knocking on the door. Can you imagine him knocking on the door of a church wanting to get in because he's not in there? It's the same way in our lives. He knocks at the door of the heart. We have to open that door and let him in. He will not force his way in. It is of our own volitional will that we accept him and let him in. They appealed to their works to save them. They called him Lord, Lord, but he didn't know them. You can go to church, you can give and visit, you can preach and teach, but the truth still remains. Faith through grace and not out of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace, that unmerited favor, that undeserved thing that God did for us. None of us deserve what he did for us. None of us deserve forgiveness. But he did it. These people were boasting. Their whole claim to heaven rested in what they had done. I had this experience years ago. I had some Jehovah's Witness approach me. I was out in the yard at the parsonage at First Baptist in Elkton. And they approached me. I could spot them a mile off. Just like the Mormons. they come up to me and talk to me, and I, of course, I always cut them off at the path here because I'm tired of, you know, they're arguing with you, and then when they get to a point, they'll leave when they can't. And I told them, I said, you know, I said, I'm going to heaven, you know, because they don't believe there's about 144,000, but they got that all messed up. And I said, I'm going to heaven. And they say, yeah, that's because you're a pastor. I said, oh, wait a minute. It's not because I'm a pastor. It's because Jesus Christ died for me. He died to forgive me of my sins. I said, I have a personal relationship with him. And I says, because of that, and because of the love he has shown me, I feel that I owe him something back. And so and he has called me into the ministry. And so I share him. And that's what I do as a pastor. But I said, I'm not saved as a pastor. I'm saved. I'm a Christian because Jesus Christ died for me. And that's what we need to realize. The people were boasting. Your salvation will never be about you. It's about Jesus. Salvation is about Jesus and what he did when he went to Calvary. He bled and died to accomplish what a million times of religious works can never do. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You must receive him and his plan to get into heaven. It's God's plan. It was God's plan before creation because God knew what was going to happen. He knew Adam and Eve were going to sin sooner or later. And he had a plan in it set. In fact, go back in Genesis, when they sinned, he told them there would be salvation. A shocking confession. Surely they were shocked at what they had already heard. How about to hear something that will forever seal their destiny? I never knew you. They claimed to work in his name. They claimed to know him. They had a professed relationship, but he says he never knew them. Of course, Jesus is God. He knows who they are and what's in their hearts. They just never knew him in a personal way, never been saved, no commitment ever made. It's like a couple living together out of wedlock. They know each other. But there's no commitment to life ever been made one to another. No commitment for life before God. And that's what a wedding ceremony is. And shamefully, there's so many today that are living that way. And they think it's okay. But it's not. Some think this passage is speaking to backsliders. Oh, that's a good Baptist thing, term, backslider. Listen. They think those who once saved and now for whatever reasons they're lost. You cannot lose your salvation, folks. You cannot lose it. It's called the security of the believer. Jesus said he never knew them. There never was any relationship. They're not backsliders. They're just plain lost folk. What's a backslider? A backslider is a slave person that gets... A saved person that gets out of walk with his Lord that falls into sin. That's a backslider. They don't lose their salvation. But I'm going to tell you something that make their lives most miserable because the Holy Spirit, like my evangelism teacher, professor taught me in seminary, he said, the hound of heaven is after you. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God which standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. A sudden condemnation. The lost is ordered to leave the presence of the Lord. That's what the lost is, and that's what hell is. It's the absence of the presence of the love of God. There's a vast difference between heaven and hell. Heaven is a place of endless bliss and eternal glory. Hell is described as unquenchable fire, a place of thirst, a place of misery and pain, a place of frustration and anger, a place of endless separation, a place of undiluted divine wrath. Also, it says it's a place cast into the outer darkness. The saddest word in the Bible, I never knew you, depart from me. Those that were expecting a welcome into heaven, they thought they were saved. Some years ago in Long Beach, California, a fellow went into a fried chicken place and bought a couple of chicken dinners for himself and his date one afternoon. The young woman at the counter inadvertently gave him the proceeds from the day, a whole bag of money, much of it cash instead of fried chicken. After driving to their picnic site, the two of them sat down to open the meal and enjoy some chicken together. They discovered a whole lot of more than chicken, over $800. But he was unusual. He quickly put the money back in the bag. They got back into the car and drove all the way back. He got out and walked in and became an instant hero. By then, the manager was frantic. The guy with the bag of money looked the manager in the eye and said, I want you to know I came for a couple of pieces of chicken dinners and wound up with the money instead. Well, the manager was thrilled to death. He said, oh, great. Let me call the newspaper. I'm going to have your picture put in the local newspaper. You're the most honest man I've ever heard of. To which the guy quickly responded, oh, no, no, don't do that. Then he leaned over closer to the manager, whispered, you see, the woman I'm with is not my wife. She's somebody else's wife. Things are not always as they appear to be. The outward does not always reflect what's on the inside. Ever known a person who claims to have a friendship or a close relationship with another person only to find out that what supposed relationship was not as close as that person indicated? The four saddest words that we will ever hear. Now listen, listen. The Son of God is speaking. Never. No relationship to Jesus has ever existed, for there's no such thing as knowing him a while and then ceasing to know him. New. You can know a lot about Jesus, but the important thing is for him to know you. You. Salvation is personal. Whether or not one has had a personal encounter with Jesus is what really matters in this life and in the life to come. It is a personal relationship. It is a one-on-one. You and Jesus. Has nothing to do with anybody else. I know I've had this happen. I've shared with people, you know, and didn't have to come to church, and I thought they were saved and all, because their parents was missionaries. they were raised in a Baptist home or raised in a minister's home. You know, I've run into this a lot of times. Some lost people out there. Well, my father was a pastor. You know, you'd be surprised how many people I meet said, oh, yeah, my daddy or my granddaddy was a pastor. Some of them saved and some of them ain't. The ones that saved is because they have a personal relationship. It's not by association. And that's what is important. Above everything else. Now, we do good works because we are saved and he expects us to do good works. But we don't do good works to be saved to get into heaven. So do you know him personally today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for these are the words of Jesus. And to know that we need a personal relationship with him. To know that we must trust and believe in our heart and to give over our will to him, that he died for us. It's his work, not ours. And that glorious resurrection gives us everlasting life. And we pray that each and every one here today knows that personal relationship. If there's anyone here with a doubt or does not know him, that would respond to this invitation today to receive him. All they have to do is say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I invite you into my life. Come, save me. Save me from my sin. I believe you died for me." This is all that's required. It's faith in the great grace he's shown us. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Amen.